Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 15, verses 12 through 22. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts, the 15th chapter. All the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God has done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. With this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name,' says the Lord, 'who makes these things known from of old. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues.' Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." At the Jerusalem Council, Peter was at his best. He said that God made no distinction between Jews and Gentiles, having cleansed their hearts by faith. So why then place on them a yoke that neither our fathers nor we Jews have been able to bear? He said, "For we believe that we Jews will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as the Gentiles will." And with the addition of Barnabas and Paul's experience, James, assembly host and chair, agrees and writes the resolution. And the topic of the first church council was what to think about the Gentiles. But quickly, the question became just the opposite. What do you think and do about the Jews? Indeed, far from leaving the Gentiles untroubled, James' apostolic admonition letter mostly seeks to spare the Jews from offense and trouble. James quotes from Amos the prophet, with a few other references sprinkled in. "The Lord would rebuild the fallen tent of David and resurrect the ruins so that Israel would possess the remnant of Edom and the nations." Seems in Amos like a glimmer of hope at the end of an otherwise pretty gloomy book of prophecy. God will restore the glory of Judah one day. But how different it sounds here now in the light of Christ. Is it the temple of Jerusalem that will be rebuilt? Far from it. The fallen line of David has been resurrected. That greater temple torn down has now been raised again after 3 days. Jesus Christ. And so as James cites it here, the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord and turn to God now, because in Christ they have access. But what is not said speaks of a hollow pain. Just as Peter pointed out the Jews' failed history with their law, James acknowledged that the honorable names of Israel no longer belong to them as such. God has visited the Gentiles now to take from them a people for His name. Isn't that the very thing that made the children of Israel distinct? Well, now it is no longer their distinction, since the name above all names has been revealed to all the world. Jesus is the Lord. The hopeful gospel from Amos comes on the heels of the call that God will topple the temple's pillars. And this is something that Jesus also foretold would happen. From now on, as Paul says, we will have to speak of an Israel of God, not an Israel from Jacob. Amos wrote that when the Lord would shake the Jews in His sieve, even so, no pebble would fall to the ground. James is among those preciously preserved pebbles. But how few among the Jews are willing to shine like Peter, Christ's little stone, and admit how much of the Jewish heritage, faith, must be willing to set aside. We must be on guard, Christians, lest we become Jewish in our thinking, even as Gentiles. What Peter has said is true, and what James recalls from the prophets is also true. Christ is the name by which God's people are called. Whether they are descendants of Jacob or of Esau, of Ham, of Shem, or of Japheth, faith in Christ alone saves. It was necessary for His body to be raised up again. The Jerusalem temple need not be. In Christ, Gentiles now also have a claim to Israel's history as their own. But if that history is apart from Him, then that heritage means nothing for either people. Christ, not Jew or Gentile, Christ is the distinguishing point now. And that's the danger that lies in that strange phrase, Judeo-Christian. So also it's the danger of getting in touch with your Hebrew roots, as it says, or breathing in the popular dispensationalist confusion that floats around in our American air. It's true, from ancient generations, Moses has been preached in the synagogues. But if the prophet after Moses is not heard, Christ, the risen tent of David, then those synagogues are not people called for God's name, even if they be called Jew, or for that matter, even if they be called Christian. It is more than a mere accident of history that the church now ponders how to think of the Jews and not so much what to think of the Gentiles in the church. James's poignant judgment from the prophecy of Amos recognized that already. Now, if we fortunate Gentiles in God's Israel are to have proper humility, if we are to avoid offense or trouble, and if we are to show sound judgment as Peter and James did that day in Jerusalem, then we must be bold enough, dear saints, to turn a deaf ear to any insult that might come from trusting in Christ. And we must also decline to esteem Jewishness apart from Christ. Rather, since we have known His gracious visitation, we must pray for the true peace of Jerusalem. We must do it as the church once did. It is right to pray to God, who loves to show mercy, so that his ancient people might acknowledge Jesus Christ, the light of truth, and so be delivered from darkness. But in doing so, we, even if we are Gentiles, we are heeding Moses and the prophets, with whom James' just agreement also agrees. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Lewis Paul Ferguson, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.